the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, 3, 2, 1.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Number five.
President addressed the nation this morning about the mass shootings over the weekend. And he, despite the debate around guns and access to guns and especially assault-style weapons, the president blamed the internet, the media, video games, and just the individuals responsible.
We must stop the glorification of violence in our society. This includes the gruesome and grisly video games that are now commonplace. It is too easy today for troubled youth to surround themselves with a culture that celebrates violence. We must stop or substantially reduce this, and it has to begin immediately.
Video game mention was a bit surprising and odd. Don't they have video games all over the world?
Yes.
They don't have mass shootings quite like this.
No. And the access, well, in industrialized, wealthy industrialized nations, there are video games everywhere, right? I mean,
they we saw that with the Fortnite championship. We saw those guys from all over the world compete.
Yes. So,
not that that's the most violent game, because it's not.
The kids trying to get out of Honduras are not necessarily playing video games. And the issue is, you know, video games have been on people's radar for 20 years. Ever since the single shooter games became very popular 2 decades ago, they, you know, there's been this argument about what the kids are exposed to. And if you do have a somebody who's on the margins of sanity or have some sort of significant adjustment disorder,
right.
And a lot of teenagers do, right? Teenagers have issues with friends and romantic relationships and their parents and all those kinds of things. It's a really pressure-filled moment as they're trying to figure out how to become an adult. That and if they're tipped in a certain direction, certainly the video game may tip them further in that direction.
But so many things could be triggers. You know, a girl dumps you or won't, you know, return
right.
your phone calls. I mean, I don't know. You know, that is not necessarily a definitive link.
But access of an 18-year-old or a 19-year-old or a 20-year-old or 22-year-old to a high-capacity assault-style weapon legally is, I think we're putting too much firepower in people's hands. That, and there is a solution here that doesn't actually, if you had a national ID for that style of weapon, if you want a handgun, you can go in your state and whatever the state rules are.
Mm-hmm.
But for that weapon, it's the same sort of rule they had for machine guns back then. You'd have to have a reason for having it. And you would have to pass a federal background check to get that weapon. That and a 10-day waiting period and all that. That's from a legitimate licensed dealer.
Because in both the Dayton and El Paso shootings over the weekend, they both obtained their weapons legally.
Right. And I think
according to the rules we have right now.
And I think that even the nuttiest of gun nuts would have a hard time arguing against that, other than, you know, the government's out to get them, right? So, I mean, the paranoiac gun nuts are not, I think we could take that. They vote. That's the issue. That's what scares your congressman. But, and they vote on that issue. And they are on the NRA email list, and they know exactly who the good guys and the bad guys are in the gun debate, and they're encouraged to reach out to those people by email, and they're given their emails and, you know, other ways of communicating with them, and that's what it is. But it doesn't make for good domestic policy. Good domestic policy, and I'm not trying to take the guns away. I'm not trying to take that style of gun away, even. You know, that's in the argument that, well, you know, they're just trying to take that away. I'll tell you, you know what the truth is, though?
Hmm.
You know what the United States and Russia and China and big players on the world stage have done when they want to destabilize littler countries so they can either topple them or adjust their regimes or whatever it is, because it happens all the time throughout history. All I have to do is read the history books. I'm not making it up. And you don't have to be a paranoiac nut to believe this and to know this, is you flood it with weapons. You flood it with small arms. and it starts to take care of itself. It destabilizes.
Yeah.
Right? The south and west side of the city flooded with small arms. Is it stable? No. And this whole idea of everybody had a gun, we'd all be safe, is absolute horse crap. And you know it, and we know it. That there's concealed carry, there's open carry in Ohio. Right? And there were cops there. And yes, that's true. In 30 seconds, that gunman was dispatched on Saturday night. But not before he got 41 rounds off, killing nine people and injuring another two dozen.
So remarkable about that situation. In that case, the officers got to him so quickly. He barely had his weapon out, like you say, not even a minute, and yet was able to do that kind of deadly damage and kill that many people, take that many people's lives.
Checking in at
number four.
Ari Lightfoot reacted to this weekend's mass shootings. Also, very, very bad weekend here in Chicago. But this is what she had to say about the president's reaction.
As a leader of our country, I implore the president to set a better, clearer, moral tone. Because what he's been doing is blowing every racist, xenophobic dog whistle. And when you do that, when you blow that kind of dog whistle, animals come out. So what I would like to see him do is to set a different moral frame that provides for people to be able to come together.
You know what's funny about that? You hear that argument a lot. That, you know, why doesn't he just tamp down the rhetoric? Right? You hear that even from a lot of Republicans.
You do.
Because he's afraid he's going to lose if he does that. What does that say about how he believes America to be? What does that say about his opinion about us? About us writ large, us as a country? I mean, that's a pretty scary thing. All right. It's also scary what's happening here in the streets of Chicago. We'll get to that tomorrow. But we got to some of that earlier today.
Right, playing the sound of gunfire in, was it the Lawndale neighborhood?
Yeah.
West Lawndale. Earlier, just sounded like a war zone.
Let's just do that here, because you heard the gunshots. You heard audio of the gunshots in San Antonio and in Dayton.
El Paso.
Over the weekend. Did I say San Antonio?
You did.
I'm like the president.
You're like the president.
And Joe
Biden.
Yes.
Michigan.
In El Paso. Thank you, God. You heard the sounds of the gunfire from those two mass shootings.
You did.
Right? Well, yeah, scary, right?
Scary.
Horrifying. You're like, oh my God, who would want to live through that? This is what it sounded like this weekend and on many weekends in the summer in Chicago, Saturday night.
Chilling.
That audio is from the Chicago Police Department, if you think we're making that up or trying to be dramatic about it. We'll get to your three, your two, and your one, but first, let's check in with Kim. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
In the wake of the mass shooting, Senator Durbin pushing for the Senate to pass his Domestic Terror Act.
Watch for Chicago's very own stories with Micah and Joe, Micah Mater and Joe Donlin, weeknights on WGN TV News at 9 o'clock.
Top 5-5 continues.
Number three.
Doesn't get weirder than this. Kevin Spacey came out of hiding.
Mm-hmm.
Because a sexual assault allegation of him has been dropped. Right? So now he figures he's free and clear and able to go out and...
He still has more than a dozen other accusers, but okay, this one.
Yeah, but the big one that was in court got dropped.
That's right.
So he resurfaced to recite a poem in Rome next to a sculpture.
Perhaps you're right. The more you're wounded, the greater you are, and the more empty you are. They used me for their entertainment, fed on shoddy stuff. life was over in a moment. It was always like this. I fought, I looked for an edge, a dawn where I could start again. I have endured no end of sleepless nights. I have spent hours and hours sweating to destroy and fall.
President Underwood, right there.
Art imitating life.
Wow. Okay. Okay. I think that's going to end well. Not exactly sure if I am... does he have family? Does he have anybody that
loves him?
Concerns themselves with him?
Why? Because you'd say that wasn't a good thing to do?
I would say that I'd be calling medical assistance at this point. Okay. Moving along to... Here we go.
Number two.
Oh, Sandy, baby.
Olivia Newton-John is auctioning off items from her decades-long career to raise money for cancer research and wellness center in her native Australia, including iconic skin-tight black pants and leather jacket she wore in Greece.
Who could forget?
She says it was a tough decision, but not that tough when you think about what the money's going for.
I've worn them, and that was another part of my life, and now it can go to good use, and someone can enjoy them, and I'm hoping it'll end up in a museum somewhere so that people can see them, you know, in the future. But if not, a billionaire from China who wants it for his granddaughter, that's fine too. Whatever, whoever wants to get them and get money for my center, I'll be very happy.
Yeah.
She's saying she doesn't care. She wants to put the money for the cancer survivors and people battling cancer.
Yeah, a Chinese billionaire is not getting it for his granddaughter.
You just don't have to ask the question like what it's for, right? I mean, it's just, you just don't need to. You don't need to know.
Just saying.
Number one.
Some Uber or Lyft drivers offer water or snacks to passengers, but one New York couple who requested a ride to a hospital got much more. When their baby unexpectedly arrived in the back seat, thanks in part to the coaching from their driver.
Oh, she's literally coming out.
Yeah, but you have to breathe.
Her head is on my hand.
Damn, so boss, pull it out, boss. Do the magic, do the magic. That's it, boss. Just hold your kid, just hold your kid. Just hold your kid, that's it, shit is done. Mama, just move it out of the seat. The baby's out. Just move the legs out of the seat. We're driving. Everything's done. Just don't get the seat messy. God bless the baby.
Aww.
Just clean the pit. Clean the pit.
What an
just
Uber
don't
driver.
Get the seat messy. Oh, my gosh. I was going to say,
$50 charge. For
what kind of
messy.
Charge is that? I mean, puke is one thing. I mean, all of that.
You do get a bill for these things sometimes.
Tried to hold the placenta in. That's another $50.
Coaching? I mean, he was pretty good.
Oh, man.
Pretty good in a crisis like that.
Oh.
Yeah. Could have been a lot worse.
Oh.
Yeah.
I will never get in another Uber without thinking about this.
Hey, no, you won't.
That's pretty impressive.
Is there a baby upcharge?
What if it was a shared ride?
Oh, gee.
And then what do you do with the tip at the end? You know, is that guy going to get the 5 stars?
Five stars, $5 tip.
Well, if it's a boy,
might name it after the child after the Uber driver.
Okay, good luck with that. Mm-hmm. All right, let's close this thing up, shall we? We got the news and then White Sox baseball.
Mm-hmm.
The top five at five.